Hello, everybody. This is Tracy Malone. Today I have got two guests, and we are going to talk about preparing financially for a divorce. It is absolutely of the utmost importance that we learn what to do and what not to do, what to panic about, what not to panic about. My guests today are Karen Chaloux and Catherine Shanahan. They are the founders of My Divorce Solution, and they've got a lot of information to share with us today. What do we do about forensic accountants, and how do we do this, and what are the biggest mistakes financially? Because this is the biggest fear. If you are worried about what do I do, and what if I don't have the records? What if I have no statements? I don't even know where my money is because it's always been under control of my partner. This is a conversation you don't want to miss. This is Tracy Malone from NarcissistAbuseSupport.com and the author of Divorcing Your Narcissist, You Can't Make This Shit Up. So I will welcome them right now, and I hope you guys are going to get a lot out of this. Stay tuned. Hello, Karen and Catherine. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Hello. Hello to your listeners.
Yeah, well, we are excited that you are here. You are the founders of My Divorce Solution and podcasters of We Chat Divorce. So we are going to talk about preparing financially for your divorce. And this is your area of expertise. I would love to start out by talking about something that you and I, all of us, you and I's, how do we say that? You guys.
You all, we say in the South, they say you all.
that we all talked about the other day, which is when the need for a forensic accountant happens, because I think people are doing this wrong. So I want to start off on this before we get into the meat and potatoes of this. You know, forensic accountants are often called into divorce situations where there's high volume businesses and things that have to be figured out. So tell my audience, what does a forensic accountant do? And then we'll get into some of the mistakes and what you guys shared with me of the differences between you and what a forensic would do is so important for people to understand. So who wants to go first?
So I'll start out. A lot of times forensic accountants are brought into matters right at the beginning of a litigation case, usually because the attorney wants to conflict them out to the other party. So that can be a necessary relationship. However, often many clients go ahead and engage into a relationship with the forensic, not even knowing what the scope of work is, not knowing what documents they need, and if they need them, they're not even in place yet. And so because of that, that's where it starts a runaway train. So while often, yes, you do want to use a forensic or possibly use a forensic that your attorney is accustomed to working with, that's well respected by the court, the timing of the forensic's value is usually much later in the case, because that's when the documents have been collected and assessed, and you really do have a refined scope of work from which you need their specific expertise. So that's from my vantage point. And I know Catherine has a little bit of a different perspective.
Right. Well, it's not so much different, but it's an added thought. And that is, you know, in defense of the attorney who's saying, yes, let's go get a forensic, it's typically because, you know, the client comes in and they're like, my spouse is stealing money. My spouse has this business. He has multiple businesses. He's shady. He's with crooks or his friend who I can't stand. I know they're planning this. So that's a very emotion driven feeling and action that they're putting into place. So the only answer to that is, okay, we believe you. They are stealing your money. They have been doing this thing. So let's go get this forensic that we're going to conflict out, and we'll have them on our team. So what you're doing is you're starting a battle that may not have to start yet, right? So if we put the emotions aside, to Karen's point, we haven't even had any documents collected. we haven't even given your spouse the opportunity to be forthcoming with any of that information. So why are we hiring a forensic to start something that may not have to start? And that's our point. It's like, yes, we may need a forensic for certain cases if the complexity of your case really warrants that, but we don't know that until we do our work first.
Right.
And I think what a lot of people don't understand, most of the reason for a forensic accountant is because the attorney needs them to testify in court proceedings. So that they say less than 2% actually go to trial. And if you're starting out of the gate with a forensic, and again, like with respect to business evaluations, it takes a while and a long while to sort through all that paperwork and get it down to a space that can even be valued or, valued, evaluated. So, you know, our experience is that a lot of time forensics are hired in a space where the scope of work is not ready to be evaluated, and or there's not enough documentation for them to make a good, clear opinion of it all. And so then they've hired this person and they have to keep updating and they have to keep spending money, and it definitely becomes a runaway train.
Yeah, I've seen that so many times with my clients. And one of the biggest things that I see people really just, you know, when they go after, you said that emotional, they come in there, I know they're stealing, we sold this business, where's the money? All of these questions that go on that, you know, result in getting one of these hired. Often people think that the forensic is going to find the hidden money, the money that may be not in the public records, but okay, we sold the business for $1 million, you only deposited 800, where's the rest, right? That sort of detective work in some cases, is that the role of the forensic? To me, it sounds more PI. I mean, they'll find the numbers, but then the digging into where the heck it is, it becomes sort of a battle. How does that get handled? And is that something that is like they do find the money that's hidden?
Well, it's really hard to find hidden money these days. I mean, it's not like this offshore banking that we all go and find. It's really rare that you see that. And those are trial cases that go on for years and years and years. But a forensic accountant is really equipped to trace money transactions, right? And they'll go back as far as you want them to. So again, to Karen's point earlier, if we don't know the scope, what are we hiring for, right? So how many years do you want to go back? Then you can trace the accounts to where they went. But also a forensic accountant will go into how are the books set up in your business, really? Like this is a cash flow analysis that they're doing for you. It really gets deeper and deeper into a lot of businesses when they're trying to prove an income or where that money went for a sale of something, but because it's entwined within the business or starting another business. So they really get into intricacies of very complex cases. So yes, there's a need, but where's the need for that? Most cases that aren't going to trial, we could see where monies are deposited and not deposited. You know, it doesn't take a forensic to do some bookkeeping, basically, right. Exactly. to justify this or to point it out. And that's why we believe that we start with just that first assessment. And then if it does go deeper that you need a forensic, that's when you need to hire them.
Yeah, because you guys were talking about this as a very big mistake, bringing in the forensic too early, because you guys do that preliminary work to determine if and when we need the forensic. And at that point, I believe you were saying that now we know we're not bringing them in too early and we're bringing them in and going, this is what we want you to check, right?
Right. And sometimes, you know, during the course of litigation, and again, especially in complex cases, people have to decide where they're going to spend their money. And sometimes if you have 5 issues, your budget only allows you to address 3. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure you're picking the ones that are going to get you where you need in your future life. Financially, not emotionally. A lot of people are chasing these issues from their emotions because they're afraid, they're vulnerable, they're scared. And so they really do need to have an awareness of if they would find this money, how much is it going to cost to litigate it to a resolution versus focusing on those issues that will get you to where you need to be moving forward. And sometimes those issues are definitely worth fighting for or addressing. I don't even want to use the word fight because it's really not a fight. It's addressing, it's a calculation. And some of them, when it comes down to it, it's not going to benefit you financially. And so understanding that is very important as you move along through the divorce process.
And remember, if you start a little too early and your trial is 6 months, a year later, you have to get all that paperwork updated. So now you're paying to have everything updated because numbers are numbers and they change daily.
Really important fact. Thank you so much. That's going to help a lot of people because it's sort of a mystery. People with assets didn't even know that this was a thing they would have to do, you know, and it is something that tends to, as I said, lawyers are like, whack. Here you go, you're going to need one. And like all of a sudden you're writing two $10,000 checks to retain people and start the ball rolling.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Oh, and no, Tracy, you know, in addition to that is, sorry, Karen, is that, you know, you hire this forensic and then they get this information. Well, yeah, that money was transferred 6 years ago, and blah, blah, blah. But then we did this. And I have seen time and time again, and I'm not an attorney and I'm not giving you legal advice here, but they say, okay, well, that was way before your date of separation. So there's nothing we can do about that. So you spend all this money and then they find out, okay, there's nothing we're going to do about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes and often an attorney will fight a battle for you. If they see that, I mean, you're the client, you're telling them what to do. And if you're telling them to do that, they're going to do it. So, you know, it's very important that you as a client are informed as to what's important to you. So in turn, your attorney can, you know, address the appropriate issues. And to, you know, attorney's credit, forensics are very valuable professionals in a divorce setting, especially when there's litigation involved. And to attorney's credit, they realize that they need financial expertise that they do not otherwise have. So, you know, forensics are sometimes very necessary. It's just when and how, and you know,
and if
you, if. absolutely.
All right, so let's ask about this because you're talking about, Catherine said a very valid point is when people go into that, you know, lawyer's office to start the whole thing off, there's so much fear, but a lot of it is also tied to the financial fear. So, you know, how do we help people with this financial fear so that going into it, at least they can, you know, when you've got that much fear, you are frozen, you know, fight, flight, freeze, you're frozen. You don't even know if you'll ever get anything. And you don't even know if you can pay for your attorney, right? There's so much fear. You know, how do we help people with this financial fear from the very beginning?
Knowledge is absolutely everything in divorce. And, you know, a lot of times you go into that attorney, this is not an easy process, you know, and it's very scary. You know, I survived it. I'm on the other side. So have we all, right? But when you're there, your only thought process is I have to go get either the best attorney that somebody told me to get. And I have to just go in there and tell them I want the most that you can get me. And I want to screw the other side, you know, but how do you go in and say that when you don't even know what you have? And you don't even know what you need and you don't know what's available to you. So you're really going in there to just find out some information. So we've developed our process so that you can go anywhere with financial clarity. And let me tell you, some people go through our process and decide to stay married because there was just a financial disconnect within their marriage, right? So financial knowledge can do a lot for you in a lot of different ways. So my short answer to that, and I'm sure Karen will add to this, is get the knowledge that you need financially, because that is the biggest part, probably 90% of your divorce, because you can't make decisions for your kids if you don't know where you financially stand. So, you know, we believe kids are the most important part, but financially speaking, you need to know what's available to you and what you're going to walk away with some sort of way, or what your decisions are going to be based on. And so you need to focus on the knowns and not the unknowns. And that's what we are really strong advocates for, in getting your financial clarity.
Nice. Thank you, Karen.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. If you're able to proceed through your divorce, whether it's with an attorney or a mediator or in direct conversations with your spouse, knowing what you have, knowing that you were able to access the documentation, knowing what they mean to you. What does a 401k account mean to me? What does a pension mean to me? What does my spouse's business mean to me? If I'm a shareholder in that business, or if I'm not a shareholder in that business, or what does my spouse's executive compensation, what does it mean? And then from there, so what are my options of, you know, what portion of this estate is going to be most beneficial to me moving forward? And even if a couple comes to us together, they can even know that information together. And then you have the bandwidth, or you have the awareness and the ability and the confidence to compromise and make really good decisions for yourself. You're able to articulate to your other divorce professionals what you need. And then that diminishes your emotions to a space where you can navigate a confident divorce.
Yeah, thank you so much. There's a part that I know a lot of my clients have trouble accessing their financial records. Like maybe they weren't the breadwinner or didn't even work or the stay-at-home parent, and nobody's giving, like they won't even tell them. They don't even know that there's a retirement account in this account and this account or anything. You know, what's the common like misunderstanding, and how does someone access that stuff if they're flatly told, I'm not giving you access?
I love that. I'm not giving you access. However, they have to give you the documentation. So they're either going to do it a very expensive way, or they're going to do it in a forthcoming way. But I always say, start with your tax return. You know, that's the easiest for someone. If you are signing a tax return, then you are privy to the information on that tax return. So your first source of power would be, now that we're in February, quickly coming up to tax season again, do not sign your tax return if you are in this process until you have the documents that support the numbers on your tax return.
Really?
If your accountant is saying we can't give that to you, well, then you can't use that accountant. And there's thousands of CPAs and tax preparers out there. So it is to your spouse's benefit to have you sign with them, because filing jointly is the best tax deduction level that you're going to get to, but demand that. So when people say, I can't get that information, I always say it's because you're not standing strong enough to get it, because it is yours. You're signing it. It's your documentation. You're liable to anything on that tax return. So it's your right to have it. So that's the first place to access and data that I would say to start with, because everything is itemized on there.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of people haven't filed their tax return in today, February 14th, happy Valentine's Day. But so, you know, then you're talking about prior year tax returns. So there is an IRS form 4506 that you can fill out. You can go online and access the information as well, so that any tax return that has been previously filed by you or, you know, with your spouse, you have full access to it using that form. And a lot of our clients are able to get their tax returns that way, especially if they're already separated from their spouse. But going to your accountant, if you used a joint accountant, is very important. And what people need to know is it's not to your spouse's detriment for you to have access to your information. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, that's, my spouse will get upset, or I'll cause a fight, or they won't give it to me, I don't have my own log on. Well, first of all, get your own log on. Every account can have two separate log ons. You don't just need one. So take the necessary steps, because it's a part of you being financially confident as you move through this process. Take steps every day to know and own your own financial information. You don't have to do it all at once. It is overwhelming sometimes, but you certainly can take steps every day. And then the next step gets a little easier, and the next step gets a little easier.
Thank you. You know, I want to back that up to say it's not just your tax return. You know, go to your financial planner. If your financial planner is not willing to give you the information that you're requesting, you may need a new financial planner. you know, go to your insurance broker agent. If they're not willing to give you information, then you might need a new one. And, you know, these are things that you can feel good about doing for yourself. This is a little bit of financial self-care. You know, go to your bank where you and your spouse bank. If they're not giving you information, this is all red flags. It's red flags about your spouse, and it's red flags about your professionals that are in your corner. You know, and if you're afraid to do that, have a friend go with you. Mm-hmm. But everybody should be giving you any information that you feel like you're entitled to. Same with your home, all the bills, everything else. And mm-hmm. if you're scared to do that, we are here to assist you. But you are entitled to this information.
Yeah, it's just the fight to it. So I had a divorce that had 7 trials, and I never got any paperwork. So he was in contempt 6 times, saying, I mean, we're talking not a checking statement that he could have walked into the bank. We'd already given him 5,000 sheets of every bill and everything. He could have made copies of that shit and just given it in, but refused. So he was in contempt 6 of the 7 times. And then he brought like 5 pieces of paper when he finally came and went, here you go. But it was his accountant, and his accountant refused to give me the records. And yet still he didn't even put in the tax returns, which is he's the one with the access. It was mind-blowing. In the end of all those contempts, the judge put something in my decree, which I am not going to hold up for you. But so he's in contempt and we're sitting there fighting, give us records, give us records, give us records. And so it kept bringing the cost of the divorce up. And in the end, the judge wrote, I don't know why the divorce went so high. They say it's because whatever. And we say, because we're looking for these records and have to keep asking you. So they said it's a witch hunt to get the records. It actually says that in my divorce decree from 10 years ago. And I was like, oh my God, like it's a witch hunt because you're in contempt for not giving it. Like that made no sense to me, but it's all the different papers. So it's the checking statements. And as you guys said, go into the bank, don't be shy, demand those things. But there'll still be a part where like me, 6 times, the court's doing their, you're going to be in contempt, sir. You're going to be in contempt, sir. And they're, you know, like stonewalling all the way. It is so hard when people are getting this wall of not getting any information. And with many of the people that are with narcissists, you know, they're just going to be uncooperative. That is the name of the game. They're just not going to reveal anything. So it's frustrating for people and they struggle to it. But, you know, I think once we get the records in the hands, whether they eventually have to send them, we still don't know about those secret accounts, or did they have a retirement account? If they only give you one retirement account, how are you supposed to know there's a second? Is that part of the forensic accountant, or lots of people get PIs? Like, does that help? Can we find those records?
Well, you know, you bring up a lot of interesting points in there. And, you know, when you mention narcissists, everyone that is dealing with one knows that you have to deal with one issue at a time with them. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if you add another issue in, they're just going to answer what they want to answer. Mm-hmm. So if you can first start knowing what are the components of your estate, right? So you have your components of your estate, and then it's going to break down into 4 metrics, probably your assets, your liabilities, your income, and your expenses. And then you have to prioritize. Like, what are we on the search for here, right? So we can only handle one thing. Do we want to see what their income is? Do they have executive compensation? You know, that could be found in different ways. So do we only ask for an employee benefits package to look at? So it's a matter of breaking things down so that we can understand and interpret what all the components are in your estate, so that you're not going on this witch hunt, as somebody would want to call it, which is a joke, right? I mean, do we all wish, the 3 of us, I'm sure, wish we could like back up to when your divorce started and see how we would have started that different? My guess, it started very emotional, right? So now that we have all this hindsight between the 3 of us, it would be great to go back and redo that. But I think with getting the documentation and feeling that is really breaking it down. You know, Karen said earlier, take one step at a time, do one thing a day. And that's what we help assist you do. Which will help you to know what all your options are.
Yeah. And it's very common for us to see what other people would consider hidden accounts just because we do this every day, all day. You know, there's indicators that people would not otherwise know. And often when I'm working as a liaison between client and with the attorneys, and, you know, my role is to help the client help the attorneys to really make sure everyone's on the same page about where we are, what we're doing. And often, you know, we will ask the question if the other side isn't being cooperative. We'll talk about what are the options here, subpoena, motions, which is less expensive. What are the accounts that are really going to benefit now? And then if you get this much, maybe go after more, things like that. And I think a lot of people don't know to approach the conversation that way, because in their space, it's just scary and they feel betrayed and they feel violated. So and as lay people, you just don't know the terminology of the court and you don't know what your options are. And sometimes your attorney doesn't tell you because, you know, they're just processing paperwork because you're one of 150 clients. Mm-hmm. So, you know, really knowing what you're needing to have to make good decisions for yourself is super important. And then you can get your professionals to work towards that end for you. But a lot of the work can be done ahead of time.
Wow, this is so helpful. I know so many people are going to be like eating this up like cereal. It's what people need to know, because this cripples people. The financial fears, as we started to talk about, is crazy. But when we get into this, another part is to negotiate with them, right? So how does someone negotiate? We obviously negotiate once all the stuff is on the table, but what's the tip for financially negotiating in a settlement like this?
Oh gosh, I'm going to hop. I have to hop in right here because I love negotiating with narcissists. So the tip here is knowing what's available to you, know what your options are. And know what you would be satisfied walking away with, because in divorce, you're both going to have to compromise. But when you're negotiating, you know that the other side wants to feel like they won. So you're, whatever you're willing to give up the most to keep what you really want the most is really, I think, the most important thing to do. And to put it out there in a way that the other side feels like they're winning by choosing one. Because if I give you these three options that I'm putting out there, I know in my head, I'll be satisfied with any of those three options. So if the other side picks one, two, or three, you don't care, because you've already in your mind settled how that's going to work for you in your future. Mm-hmm. So when we go through and you receive your financial portrait, there's considerations in there for you for every asset and every liability. But when you are able to know that I would like to have A, B, or C, and the other side is going to pick one, but you're still okay because you've already figured out in your head how you're moving on, you're going to move ahead to a successful negotiation.
Nice.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Karen.
Yeah, I'm just going to add to that. It's when you have that information, you're not getting distracted by bad behavior. You have the ability to pivot to plan B or plan C as you're going through the negotiating process. So you're not distracted by the emotional vulnerability and intimidation. You're able to focus on what you know your goals are, because you went through this process, you know what it is, and then you make your decisions accordingly.
Right. That's brilliant. Thank you, ladies. I want you guys to share with me your, each one of you get three top tips, which are mistakes that people make. So what are some mistakes? Maybe you can't think of six on the fly, or she's going to grab the first three and you're like, those were mine. But who wants to go first to give us top three financial mistakes when they're making a divorce? Because people need to know not to make them.
Okay. So Karen's probably waiting for me to go first because she likes to think a little bit. So my first one is, don't make any decisions based on the unknowns. Figure out what the knowns are. Make your decisions on that. Mm-hmm. My second one is to jump into anything too fast. Don't let anyone bully you into making a decision. You're stronger than you think, and you will get through this process because there is something on the other side of the road. My third one is, do not think that divorce is going to define who you are for the rest of your life. You're going to be a great mom if you act like a great mom. You're going to move on successful in your life if you act in the manner of which you can be successful in life. And hold on to that, because it will come true in the long run. And third is, don't go run into an attorney to start a fight that may not have to start yet. There's a better way to start divorce. There's coaches like yourself. There's people who can gear you in the right direction. There's people like Karen and I. We have the financial portrait set up to give you really clear information before you go to an attorney. Or if you're in an attorney, stop, take pause. Always take pause. When something in your gut is not telling you it's right, it is probably not right. And it's your right to act on that emotion. So take pause to get other information. How many is that? Because you know me, I'll go on and on and on. I'll let Karen jump in here.
All right, Karen, go ahead.
So I think it's very important that people understand that that a divorce is not about who mistreated you and how they behaved and how the relationship went down. Divorce is about dividing marital assets and the parenting, co-parenting plans of the parents, right? That essentially divorce comes down to that. Mm-hmm. So when you have financial clarity, you're able to stay in that space and use your coaches to help you in the emotional space about the behavior, how to navigate through this, because obviously you are emotionally scarred and divorce is very emotional, but in the space of mediation and litigation, it is about the division of assets. And people think that a judge, they're going to get to trial or a hearing or a conference and it's going to be justice. Well, justice is the judges applying the law to your case. So in equitable distribution, these are the factors. In support, these are the factors. And your attorney is helping the judge understand how to apply the law in your case. That is it. And I think so many people misunderstand that. So know the role of your divorce professionals in your divorce case. And the second thing for me is own your truth. So you do get caught up emotionally, but if every day you can do something to support yourself financially, get a bank account that you would not have otherwise taken the time to do. And if you add to that every day or even once a week, you'll notice that your emotions are diminished and then you're in a space and making better decisions for yourself every day.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to add part of my chapter from Divorcing Your Narcissist, You Can't Make This Shit Up, is preparing for the gray areas. With a narcissist, everything has to be very specific. If you're to get half of the 401k and they just go half a 401k and they don't have within this date, starting this date, counting from here, 60 days is here, now we have it, and now they're in contempt. Narcissists tend to ride that line in the gray areas and go, it doesn't say when the 60 days started, you know, and then you're back and forth fighting, right? So, you know that sort of thing with the parenting plan. The biggest mistakes I see are preparing for the children that are in kindergarten and not thinking about them as they age, and, you know, making those kind of mistakes financially, because you should reevaluate this stuff. But if you're going to reevaluate it, get it in the decree. So thank you, ladies, so much. I want you guys to tell people about what you do, because besides being the divorce solution and podcasters, you also have an amazing summit coming up. That's a live in-person human being to human being event. Sounds so exciting. Who wants to tell me about it?
Well, I'll start off about it because I am so super excited about it. It's called the Mrs. the number two, me summit. And it's for really any woman who has experienced divorce. You know, we have some widowers coming because they've just experienced being alone, but we have parents who are not divorced, but they're grandparents now. It's for women only. Sorry for our male listeners. We are going to come up with an event for them because we're getting a lot of requests, but it's for a place to come change the dialogue of what divorce actually means. And it's to inspire you. It's not a bitch session. It's not there to complain about your spouse, although you might meet a new friend and the two of you can go off and do that. But we have 13 speakers coming from around the nation, and they're coming in to just inspire you, for you to make new friends. It's at the Sonesta Resort in Hilton Head. It's right on the beach. It's going to be a really fun girls weekend. And I don't know, Karen, if you want to add to that, but that's my excitement about it.
tons of inspiration and tons of resources as you move ahead, or even if you're in the middle of a divorce, you know, helping you have a little bit of a different perspective or an inspired perspective to get you to that finish line, because it definitely takes a lot of tenacity and endurance to get to that finish line. And we just want people to know that there is a force of other people there to support you to the end.
Nice. We'll put a
link beyond.
We'll give everybody the link so that they can, you know, learn more about it, because it's not coming up till spring, right?
It's March 25th weekend. So it's in March. It's not that far away. And we'd like to get you to commit to be at our next one, Tracy.
Oh, yay. So for sure, everybody, I want you guys to make note of this. This is February 14th to 2022. So people who watch this 5 years from now, because they will be watching it, make sure they understand to go to your website, because I'm sure there'll be another one every year. But for people who are going to watch it in the next month, get on that and, you know, give yourself a treat to go get educated and learn. These women are brilliant. And I have learned so much, and I hope you all have learned a lot from them, because they're going to help you get through this process. And they're another hand, like we were talking about, divorce attorney, maybe mediator, coach. Like, this is a team. They are your financial team. They are the ones driving the car going, here's what we want to put that forensic accountant on if needed. But we could do a lot more of that without as much involvement and as much cost for you. So, you know, I really want everyone to go and check out their website and learn more about them, not only their event, but to pick up the information that is so needed for you to get through your divorce. So thank you, ladies, so much.
Thank you for having us, Tracy.
Thank you.
Wasn't that great? Those ladies are super smart, and they know exactly how to help you financially get through your divorce. I just want to remind you that if you are going through a divorce with a narcissist, this book is going to help you a lot. We talk about those gray areas of a divorce decree. We also talk about something called the what if they don't clause. And if you get this book, you will know how to protect yourself financially from financial abuse and legal abuse later by putting this one simple clause in. You can find the book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. This is Tracy Malone, and I'll see you next time.